You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Abaragani family. Abaragani means, what's the news? And today the answer is Umoja. This is the first day of Kwanzaa, 2018. And I'm happy to be here this morning. Happy to celebrate it. Hope you get a chance to do it as well. Hope yesterday was a great day for you and your family. And hope this past weekend, whatever that meant, hope every day is a good day, because I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you're going to get it done anyways, because the kind of brother and sister that you is demands that, and I appreciate that. Abaragani, what's the news? Umoja. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. You know, my program is on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives on timeforanawakening.com. Look for the Red, Black, and Green Lion with African Post, and those programs are dated and titled. In fact, a lot of those dates or titles for one of those programs is Frank Jones. That's my good brother and friend. I miss him. And he's going to be with us today. And I'm really happy and thankful for that. He has been with family, and that's great. It's always good to be with family. So the other programs here on Motherland, on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays from 6 to 8, all times I'm going to give are Eastern times, it's Acres of Diamonds. And then after Acres of Diamonds, from 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And on Wednesdays, this evening, from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Revive. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 until. On Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon is Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you're right, it ain't me. It's Sister POC with her program Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. In fact, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses on WeBuyBlack.com, because it is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. In fact, they even have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, or just you want to go there and check it out, check out WeBuyBlack.com. They have laundry detergent, soaps, deodorants, batteries, toothbrushes, all kinds of good stuff that we produce. And that's what we need to do. In fact, of course, this being Kwanzaa, that's something that we definitely should do, is that we support our businesses this week. Support our businesses this weekend during Kwanzaa. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check out my good brother, Bomani Tahimbe, He just took some brothers and sisters to the continent, to Ghana, back in November. And I'm quite sure that there are pictures and video on his Facebook page on facebook.com/Bomani. Or if you want to check out video, youtube.com/Bomani2007 to check out. But also to get him here is because he can tell you how you can prepare for the next tour in May 2019 to Ghana and other places. And it's going to be very good, economically affordable, especially if you continue to put money away each month or whatever till that time. So it's a great opportunity. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check it out. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Books. You know, I'm always promoting books because we need to read. Most important things that we can do is read. In fact, there's only one miracle in Islam, is that when Prophet Muhammad was told to read, and he said, "I cannot read." And the angel or Allah said, "Read." And he said, "I cannot read." He said, "Read." And he began to read. And because reading broadens your vision, expands your horizons, it takes you places you may never go. When I went to Ghana the first time, when I was in Kwame Nkrumah's tomb, when I went to Du Bois Center and so forth, I had read about them. And so I knew exactly where I was. Read. So one of the bookstores is The Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. The number to call is 404-549-8676. And they have books. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have furniture. They have clothing. They have artwork. They have all kinds. They even have a African Holocaust Museum in the shrine, aside from the sanctuary of the shrine. It's a great place. And, of course, today at the Shrine of the Black Madonna is the first day of Kwanzaa. That's right. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa at the shrine, and it's at 6 p.m. Also at the shrine on Saturdays, they have their history class, Know Thyself History class, every Saturday, free and open to the public, from 1:30 to 3:30. Also, too, they have the African History Club presents the African History Multimedia Library. This is a digital resource of over 100,000 files of our history and culture, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 20,000 books. You're going to need a big external hard drive because it's 4.5 terabytes of enlightenment. I'm telling you, I can't wait to get my hands on it. I'm serious. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, too, Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check them out. They're right next to the food court. Check out the... And if there's a book that they don't have, believe me, they'll get it for you. Also, too, cultural, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. I'll be there on this Saturday for Kwanzaa. They're having their Kwanzaa this Saturday on Ujamaa. And I'm the host and the keynote speaker, and I'm honored, is Brother Mwalimu Baruti. Baba Baruti will be the speaker at the Kwanzaa at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Because you know why? There is light in the Black Dot. Ulu, us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Check out Ulu. Their broadcast is tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and the number to call to listen. And more importantly, go online and become a member. Buy some of the products. Is the broadcast is tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, and the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And, of course, we pulled our money together because that's what Ulu was about. It's a cooperative. And we pulled our monies together, and we created Cafe Ulu in on Sylvan Road, 2036 Sylvan Road, at the Sylvan Plaza, right off of Georgia Highway 166 and I-7585. Very easy to get to. And it's on. We're open Monday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. We have coffee, brothers. We're not like a restaurant that's, you know, not like a coffee house that sells one brand of coffee and offers all kinds of food stuff. No, we offer coffee and teas. And yes, we have food. We have wraps. We have all kinds of good stuff that we produce. And of course, the coffees we have are Cameroonian, Tanzanian, Kenyan. And of course, where coffee originated, Ethiopia. We also have other coffees from other around the world, from Nicaragua, Papua New Guinea, Brazil, Panama. We sell coffee. We also have loose teas that are produced by us. Delicious loose teas. That ginger, hibiscus ginger tea is delicious. So check out Cafe Ulu. Go to website cafeulu.com, or give them a call at 470-788-8124. Also, one of the vitality drinks that we have at Cafe Ulu is Ambrosia. That is something that was put together by my brother Novak Young. Ambrosia is a delicious vitality drink. All drinks that contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. So check that out. All right? All right. Our daily revolutionary thoughts. I'm going to read yesterday's by Ikwe Amon, December 25th. Those with their guts cracked out of them, those with minds so minced, all their remembrance would turn to pain, lead them along the easy road. Do not condemn, do not pity them, let them go. We're about the business of re-Africanization and nation building, not being distracted from our work by those who will or not or cannot listen because their hearts and souls belong to the desert. We, warriors of the African way, cannot get lost in the confusion of those who do not want to be African under any condition, except as spies or overseers for our enemies. If we do, we will find ourselves wasting time with intellectual mercenaries and lost souls who see their primary mission as taking us off our rightful path by creating frustration after frustration after frustration. Menticide, like misery, loves company. Affirm. I'm about the serious business of re-Africanization and nation building. Affirm. I am about the serious business of re-Africanization and nation building. December 26th. African spirituality cannot be contained or violated and used for Western or European greed and materialism. Anna Jop, Sister Gloria Edwards. It is time we made definitive statements about what Kwanzaa must mean to us if it is to serve us in our fight to be African. We must clearly and uncompromisingly indicate how important this celebration is to those of us who want to demonstrate the utmost respect for our ancestors and uncontaminated African traditions by following their examples. With this choice comes the responsibility of serving African interests first. It requires that we stop celebrating Kwanzaa apologetically. This means that we put an end to de-emphasizing the celebration so that others who have never felt a need to make us comfortable or who are only comfortable when their owners are comfortable will not feel that what we create is in competition with their religious celebrations of Caucasian, European, extremism, racism, and privilege. We don't need to explain our celebrations to no one in order to rationalize its existence. Those in our community who do not want to celebrate anything African except if it comes whitewashed through European approval need not participate. Let me say that again. Those in our community who do not want to celebrate anything African except if it comes whitewashed through European approval need not participate. Our stand to revitalize and re-Africanize Kwanzaa calls for us to individually and collectively set examples of humanistic perfection for each other every minute of every day. This initiative cannot be about us working to turn others into some perfect model that we follow. It must be about us being the best of our ancestors and not cheap imitations of them and what they stood for. Affirm. I live in the true spirit of Kwanzaa. Affirm. I live in the true spirit of Kwanzaa. Inye Sesim. Inye Sesim, the daily revolutionary thoughts. I'm going to tell you, I really love the fact that today is Wednesday because I haven't talked to this brother in quite some time. Brother Franklin Jones, are you with us?
Yes, I am, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning. The Black People Matrix. TheBlackPeopleMatrix.com. Check them out. Go online and check out the Black People Matrix. What's been happening? How you been?
Fantastic. I've been doing fantastic. As you know, I've recently become a grandfather.
Right. Congratulations. That's right.
Yes. I've been spending time with my new granddaughter.
Beautiful.
She's a bundle of joy.
Now, they're in Nashville?
Yes, she's in Nashville.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful, man. That's precious. That's what it's all about.
Okay. Yes,
you know.
But I'm honored to be back. I missed the show. I missed your presence. So I'm honored to be here and connected with the audience around the globe. So I thank you very much for having me back.
Well, that's a great thing. And it's a beautiful thing that we're here on the first day of Kwanzaa. And of course, my greetings to you is Abaragani. And your answer to me is Umoja. Abaragani.
Umoja, my brother.
That's right. Baragani means what's the news, and the answer is of the day of that principle. If it wasn't, when people greet you in that Kiswahili word, they say Baragani and say Njema Baragani. So it says, what's the news? The news is good, you know, and that's what we want the news to be. But we have to make it good. It just ain't going to be good because we want it to be. It ain't going to be good because we hope it to be. It ain't going to be good because we wish it to be or pray for it to be. It is good because we made it good. And that's what's important, you know, for us. And that's the same thing why Kwanzaa is so important, you know. And although the celebration is from December 26th to January 1st, but the reality is the most important part of Kwanzaa is the principles that should be instilled in our everyday lives. That should be the focus, you know, for us. I put these principles in our everyday lives. Because that's why I feel just like what I just read from Baba Baruti's Inye Sesim, the African daily thoughts, revolutionary thoughts, when they talked about how important Kwanzaa is into our liberation. Kwanzaa, to me, is the most important thing that we as African people celebrate. Because the whole focus is on who we are, our customs, our traditions, you know. I think that's important that we, you know, and just like in Inye Sesim, I don't care if all of us don't celebrate it. I want those of us who want to know more, or those who are embracing, you know, African cultural thought and behavior to celebrate it. And even if there's some of us who just want to come and check it out, that's good too, because maybe by coming and checking it out, something happens within you to make you want to know more about you. And then you begin to do the research and you begin to feel good about being an African, and you begin to feel good about African people. You know, that's why, to me, that's why Kwanzaa is so important. And I know that, I don't know about you. When was the first time you celebrated Kwanzaa, Brother Frank, if you can remember?
First time my daughter was 3 years old. She's now 19. So how many years ago was that?
Okay, that's good. 16 years ago. All right.
Yes, that was the first time.
Yeah. And for me, it was so long ago. It was in the late 70s. Of course, Kwanzaa's been around since 66. This is 52 years that Kwanzaa has been in existence. The program I had on Friday talked about the history of Kwanzaa, you know, not just the fact that Dr. Malana Karinga created Kwanzaa, but there were other people in the history of Kwanzaa to help make it what it is today. And my good sister Akina, she pointed out about a sister on the West Coast in the Bay Area, Sister Queen Mother Makeda, Queen Mother McKenna, excuse Queen Mother McKenna, how she kept Kwanzaa alive. Because, you know, once Malana Karinga presented it, unfortunately, well, he went to prison, you know, and he was in prison for a few years, and Kwanzaa was growing even by the time he got out because of people like her and another brother who I had on my program, a brother out of New York, Bashir Mchawi. Brother Bashir Mchawi, he, in fact, he even wrote a history PowerPoint on it, but he didn't know about the sister on the West Coast, so he's gonna put that information into it as well, you know. He's going to get that information from Sister Akina because he wants to make sure that we know that this is not something that Malana Karinga created and controlled. No, this is something that is for our people, coming out of our people. This is something that is who we are. I mean, yes, we're blessed that he did this. And I know people say, well, that's a created celebration by a criminal. Well, hell, everything is created.
Yes.
Everything is
Christianity was created by the greatest criminal.
Exactly. Oh,
and
man, please.
Millions have died under that religion.
Exactly. And I don't think nobody's going to die because they celebrate Kwanzaa. I think what's going to happen is you celebrate it and celebrate it sincerely, you're going to live. You're going to live internally. You're going to live mentally, emotionally, and you're going to live spiritually. No, Kwanzaa is about the transformation for us as a people. That's why I'm adamant about Kwanzaa. But for me, if you know me, I espouse the principles 24/7, 365. You know, I believe in unity. I believe in self-determination. I believe in us working together collectively. I believe in spending money with each other. I believe in what our purpose is as fathers, mothers, elders, children. I believe the purpose of us. I believe in our creativity, not just the creativity, brother Frank, of us as athletes, as us as entertainers, you know, but the creativity that even, hey man, listen, it's great to when you look at some of the things that we have done in spite of racism, segregation, humiliation. We have invented things. We have done, I mean, even to this day. So I believe in that creativity. And also, too, I believe in faith. Not just a faith in an entity higher than ourselves, but I believe in us. I believe in us. I believe in myself and you and all of us. That's a faith that I have that I know that we could overcome whatever roadblocks, detours, or pitfalls that are put in our path so we could be the kind of people that we must be. And I believe in this globally. Because to me, Kwanzaa, now it is celebrated globally, of course. It's been celebrated globally for some time. I hope my brother Paul is listening and find out from him how Kwanzaa is celebrated in the UK. You know, that would be good to know. You know, go ahead, brother Frank.
I was going to say, I think Brother Marenga, when he left prison, he must have been elated to upon leaving prison and seeing how much Kwanzaa had grown, how those who had kept it alive and it had grown while he was incarcerated. And here it is, you know, decades later, he's still being celebrated. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt. Yeah. You know, and I think that, too, that even though, you know, there are some issues with Malana from various organizations. I mean, like ASCAC. He was one of the founders of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. But some things that happened and things that were said or done, he's no longer associated with it, you know, and some other things. And I understand that. And in fact, I was in Milwaukee, and I want to give much love and respect to Brother Claiborne Benson at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society for him keeping the community-wide Kwanzaa celebration alive to this day. In fact, I mean, Milwaukee, ironically, was celebrating Kwanzaa almost from its inception. I didn't start until the middle, late 70s, in somebody in this sister's home, Carol Malone's, in her home, to celebrate Kwanzaa. That was my first introduction to Kwanzaa. Then there were some other community celebrations, but Brother Claiborne Benson, He got a building, called it the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, to focus in on the history of our people. And he has been having a citywide Kwanzaa celebration on the first day of Kwanzaa since that time. And I know they're going to be rocking the house tonight. Believe me, with drumming and spoken word. And we're going to do this. We're going to do the same thing tomorrow night with our Kwanzaa. Hope you can come and attend, my brother. At the Shrine of the Black Madonna tomorrow night. But I'm going to give a little rundown here of the Kwanzaa at the Shrine. Tonight it begins with Umoja. And the Kwanzaa time is 6 p.m. tonight. And the host is Sister Queen. You know, Queen Ali. Yeah, she's the host. Our good Sister Queen Ali is the host. And her keynote speaker is Reverend Sandy Rogers. And from the Sandy Rogers Ministry, and she has other speakers, Reverend Linda LaBoyd, founder of the Reiki Vibrations, Naomi Love, founder of the Core Total Body Salon and Wellness. So a good emphasis on this first day of Kwanzaa on our health and our spiritual health and our physical health and our mental health, you know. So that's Sister Queen Ali. Tomorrow, Kuji Tagalia, self-determination from 6 to 10. From 6 to 7 is the vendor time. So, brothers and sisters, please come early and look at the wares our vendors have. Support our vendors. The program starts promptly at 7, and it is a three-hour program. And we're going to be having breaks to go to vendors and have the vendors come and talk about what their who they are, what their wares are. And we're going to have a full program. And myself and Brother Tut, Brother Tut is one of the chairs of the World African Diaspora Union, WADU. And I'm a member of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, and me and him are co-hosting this. And the keynote speaker is Sister Charlotte Enyembo Williams out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the Reverend Dr. F. Keith Slaughter. I was on his program this morning, chopping it up with Dr. F. Keith Slaughter on 1380 AM WAOK Radio here in Atlanta. And so that is tomorrow. Now, on Friday, the 28th, from 6 to 10, on Collective Work and Responsibility is the Gangsters to Growers. And these are brothers and sisters who have some have issues with the law. Some may have be on probation or whatever, or some other issues, but they come together, which is a good one because this is collective work and responsibility to learn how to grow food and so forth. And so that's Gangsters to Growers, and that is on Friday. On Saturday, on Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, from 12 to 2 is youth activities in the cultural center. And then from 2 to 6 is the program, and it's PAOCC, Atlanta Support Group 9. Atlanta Support Group 9. And their keynote speaker is Felicia Moore, who is the Atlanta City Council President, Felicia Moore. Also, too, for me, on the 29th, this Saturday, I'll be in Lithonia at the Black Dot Bookstore. The Black Dot Bookstore. That's right. You need to go there with me, man. Baba Baruti is speaking, and that is 6984 Main Street. 6984 Main Street. I hope you can make it, Brother Frank. It's going to be a very good Kwanzaa. Yes, sir. It's going to be on. I'm hosting, moderating, or no, just host whatever, emceeing, but the keynote speaker is Baba Mwalimu Baruti, and you got to hear Brother Baruti. You know, I think he's the foremost presenter and thought in the African sovereignty movement, a movement that we all should be embracing. Because, I mean, damn it, y'all. Ain't we tired of begging? Ain't we tired of pleading? Ain't we tired of hoping, wishing, praying, and marching? And boy, ain't we should have been tired. Because sovereignty is the only way. So come check that out. On Sunday, from 4 to 8, that is the Beulah Land Farm presentation. As the co-host is Moshe Benobi, Brother Moshe Benobi. He doesn't have a speaker there. But then on the 31st, Monday the 31st, is Brother Mwalimu Olatunji Lumumba, the history, the African history. He is the person at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. When you go to those classes on Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30, he's leading those conversations. He is the guide. So come check him out on Monday, Kumba Creativity, Brother Olatunji. And then on the 1st, Imani Faith, the last day is Kwanzaa, they have a panel, a faith panel, Pan-African Orthodox Church, the Nation of Islam, First African Church, and Sankofa Church. Bishop Randy Imwida Brown, Minister Louis Muhammad, Reverend Dr. Mark Lomax, and Reverend Derek Rice on the panel. And that is the Kwanzaa celebration at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, 960 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End, and 7 days of Kwanzaa. And you come and check that out. You know, oh, we have a caller. Caller 215.
Hey, Brother Oshie, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, Joe, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine. I'll praise to be, my brother. I'm doing well, Brother Oshie.
Good. Well, you're on the line. Brother, you're on the line with my co-host on Wednesday, and that is Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix.
Hey, Brother Franklin, how you doing?
Fine, my brother. Nice to hear from you, brother.
Likewise. I just want to say this. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. She a Christian sister. We had a nice conversation. She know I'm Muslim, and she Christian. We get along well because we know we love each other. And she was ready. She said, Joe, you know, she said, you hate the, she said, you don't like the rocks, you know, because people, they believe them for so long, how they believe. So when you start hitting them with truth, she said, they, you know, people tend to get upset. Because she was saying, Mihail was saying about how Christmas, the day that the Europeans celebrate, December 25th, is, which everybody knows that know anything about the Bible, biblical, know that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. It was actually, it was an evil King Nimrod who slept with his sister, evil pedophile. He was actually his birthday that they celebrated. Jesus was born sometime like in September. I don't know the exact date, but sometime in September, the prophet Jesus was born. And she said even this notion about the holy day being Sunday, when everybody know the holy day is Saturday. And see, all this stuff was changed by the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And see, people don't want to deal with that reality, but that's why the Sabbath was changed from Saturday the Sunday at the behest of the Roman Catholic Church. And the same thing with this Christmas. The Pope in Rome, he knows Jesus was born in September, but he continued to perpetrate that lie, not just this present Pope, but all the popes before him, because it goes against their stuff. When you go all the way back to that Constantine and all that stuff, these mm-hmm. pedophile freaks and everything. See, but nobody challenges that. And see, a lot of these black ministers, they keep our people in the dark. And when you bring it forward, Brother Franklin and Brother Ocean, this is why, that's why I'll be telling Elliot and them a lot of times, him and Brother Richard. See, you got to understand, a lot of black folks are biblically ignorant. Not that they're bad people, but these black preachers, yes, keep them thinking that, instead of looking at themselves as the so-called people or the book, the black man and woman, they look at some damn white agonizing Jews who not even real Jews. They look at some Europeans as God's chosen people, even and stuff, instead of looking at themselves as the people of the book, or as they say, the people that God's coming after his people. They look at some Europeans, fake Jews or agonizing Jews, as the people of the book, because they've been so brainwashed by these people, by these black ministers that teach them that foolishness every Sunday. And see, the sad part is that it keeps our people that know, I feel like, in other words, Brother Ocean, Brother, I've heard black people say, Joe, and they be sincere, they, in their ignorance, they're all sincere. They say, Joe, I know what they're doing over there in Israel is wrong. I know how they're treating them is wrong, but we can't do anything because they, whether we like it or not, they are God's chosen people. I say, by whose standards? They say, because that's the way that my preacher, my pastor told me, that we got to support them no matter what, even if they do wrong, because they are God's people. I said, you got to be crazy. But see, this is the kind of mindset that you're operating from, see? Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to, Brother Ocean, Brother Franklin.
And see, the thing is, are they truly God's chosen people who have converted to Judaism about mm-hmm. 1,000 years ago? Are they truly? There is no genetic claim, no DNA claim for them to take the land of Palestine, no DNA claim to call themselves Hebrew or to call themselves Jews.
That's right, Brother Ocean.
You know,
that's
there was none. You know,
that's right.
They're European gangsters.
And that's what they are. And those are the words you just used, brother. Oh, she gangsters. See, again, brothers, you see, when you talk to people, they stay on top of things. And again, this is not nobody making no accusations. This is documented history. So one of the most vicious gangs. You know, we all know about Al Capone and the Italian gangsters, but nobody has been more vicious than some of these Jewish gangsters.
Yeah,
man. They brother, you ever heard of the Purple Gang? I mean,
yeah.
Man, these people, they shot people up like they made Al Capone in some cases. They make him and his crew look like Boy Scouts.
Oh
man.
Yeah, Meyer Lansky.
Gangsters was
yeah, Meyer Lansky. Yeah, and those guys. And but there's a good movie, Once Upon a Time in America.
Yes.
Once Upon
yes,
a Time
yes.
in America. Check that
yes.
movie out.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
European,
I've seen it. You're right, brother. It's a must-see. You'll see the true history of these
European
Jewish
Jews.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, people yeah. need to see these. The Caucasian control media, they make sure people don't know that they don't publicize these things and stuff. Unless you do your own research, they're gonna make sure they keep it hidden and stuff, so people don't know the true history, how these people came about. I mean, even when you look at what happened with Fidel Castro when he overthrew Batista, that's who was over there in Cuba. You know,
yeah.
with our Cuban sisters and stuff, with them damn Jewish men, rich Jewish white men, was over there sleeping and making whores out of our women over there in Cuba. I mean, the history speaks for itself, man. You know, there's no slight, no anti-Semitic. It's the truth, man. And that's why they was upset with the Nation of Islam, because the Nation was smart. They went and got Jewish, so-called white Jewish professors and historians
right.
to validate
exactly.
about them being slave owners.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You see, Brother Ocean, Brother Franklin, you can't argue with documents. They got official slave documents that show Jewish slave owners' names, the official documents back in the 1800s. You can call it anti all you want, but the facts are the facts. It's just like, Brother Ocean, if you went to your bank and you show me your bank receipt, your bank card, I can't dispute that. That's clear. You know, and that's what the Nation did. They got clear documentation with Jewish slave owners with showing their names on these bills, on these checks, whatever like that. So they can't argue with that, you know?
That's right.
Yes,
so
and when Minister Farrakhan provides the proof, they label him anti-Semitic.
That's right.
And to silence him. And
exactly.
When you study the word Semitic, the original term Semitic did not include Europeans.
That's right.
So when they said anti-Semitic, yes, it was Semitic race who included the African people. But now
yes,
they
right.
used it. Brother O'Shea is correct. The Europeans merely converted to Judaism. They are not genetically Jews.
Exactly.
They use the position of power to make themselves a Jew. There's no genetic connection to them at all. After World War II, the UN and America got together and established the State of Israel. They promised the Palestinians that they would recognize them as a state, but they did not. They
That's
placed
right.
them there, gave them all that ammunition and power, and now they've been oppressing the Palestinians. Those are not Jews at all. They merely wear the title of Jews. In fact, when they created a story that they were Jews, they created a fantastic fictional story. There
yes,
are no evidence.
Right.
There are no evidence of Jews in Egypt. No Jews mm-hmm. were enslaved. No man named Moses. Those are all fallacies. Those
yes.
are fallacies.
Yes.
And we function based upon the fallacies. Sadly, our society does not function based upon facts and reality. We function based upon the prevailing narratives, and the white man creates the narratives.
Yes,
and we function based upon those narratives. Until we understand how society functions based upon narratives and the white man creates the narratives, we will always be mentally enslaved. We must stop functioning based upon white narratives.
That's
narratives
correct.
About ourselves, narratives about history, narratives about everything. The white man is society's greatest liars. And he
yes.
protects his image by controlling the narrative.
Hey, well, case in point, Brother Franklin, you notice, well, why you find white people, and I say these last couple, and I get off. You notice how white men have no problem. They'll sit there and call a black man who commit a crime, a murderer, and a thug. But when you point out about George Washington and Christopher Columbus, all these pedophiles, they get upset.
Yes.
Oh, you insulting
yes.
our founding fathers? See, they're raping the people and killing.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
But it's okay to dump on some ignorant, misguided brother in the community, do something crazy. He's a thug,
yes.
the worst person in the world. But this white man who did it sanctioned by the government, he's a founding father. And Brother Franklin, brother, I say this last thing. Brother Franklin, you hit the nail on the head just now, because my aunt, God bless her, she just turned 93 years old. She used to work for these so-called white Jews. And I never forget what my aunt told me. She said, because she called me Junior. She said, Junior, the rich white Jew that she worked for told her, she said, you know, Betty, she said, I can talk to you, Betty. She said, you know, as you know, Betty, we really not Jews. She said, we just number Europeans that converted. She said, but yes. I can't only say to you, if my husband heard me say that, he'll disown me. He said, but you know the truth, Betty. We number regular Europeans, but I got to go along with what my husband say because he'll disown me. This was this white, rich white Jewish woman told me several years ago. They know the deal. They know
the deal. The Chaldean Jews, they merely converted. But they
That's
protect
right.
that image. And anyone who speaks the truth, they call you anti-Semitic to shake
exactly.
you up.
Exactly. They just shake you up, Brother Franklin. You're right.
Yes.
Well, Brother Franklin, Brother, I'm going to get off so somebody else can get on. But I'm enjoying this show. I'm going to sit back here and listen today, Brother, for the rest of the show. Y'all, brothers, keep going. Keep the good work and stuff. And I'll talk to y'all brothers on Friday.
Right on, Joe. Appreciate you, dear brother.
Right on,
peace
brother.
To you.
Appreciate you. Peace, my brother. One
Thanks.
Love.
You know, brother hit it on the nail. You know, most people don't want to hear the truth. They only want to hear a confirmation that the lies they believe are true. And they attack you for telling them the truth. You know, it's amazing. And when you connect religion to it, people tend to hold on tightly to it, the lies of religion, the lies of Christianity. And people just get offended. It's amazing.
See, you know, to me, and you've probably gone online, you see these little quotes, you know, how can you trust somebody who put you in slave and given you this and you embraced it? How can you trust that? Or, you know, a lot of the quotes that are out there, but that's the reality. That's the truth.
Yes.
You know, just like they said, how can somebody who doesn't treat you right, you know, teach you right? They won't do it. It's not an excuse to do
not.
So, you know?
They will not.
You know,
because they control the education that we're taught and they control most of the media outlets we hear, they control what we hear and see. They're able to indoctrinate thoughts into our minds and we don't even realize it. It is no strange coincidence that many black people are self-hating, perceive themselves their own worst enemy, and love white folks in spite of the history to the contrary. These thoughts have been indoctrinated into our minds because of white monopoly over information. They control black women who think that black men ain't shit. They get their narrative from who? Where they get the statistics
That's
from?
That's right.
They're getting it from the white media. Black men who think that white women treat you better, where they get those narratives from? They're getting it from whites who control the media, who controls the narrative. And those of us who don't critically think, we are mentally enslaved.
And believe me, we are. They have a vice grip on our minds. And I've used this analogy many, many times. If you understand that too, once that vice grip is set, you can't pull it apart.
Yes.
So they have set the vice grip and they keep pumping all of this negative images and notions of ourselves. In fact, let me tell you what I've been seeing a lot of. I don't know about you. I guess I watch too much TV, but a lot of commercials with mixed people, black, white.
Yes, a lot of them.
I mean, And for various products and various entities, you know, man, I see a lot of them and basically saying, you know, to us, particularly as a people, you know, you're part of us and we're part of you. Yeah. Right. You know, you know, first I was just seeing, you know, light skinned women with Caucasian men and. But now I'm seeing various brothers and sisters who are with Caucasians and even on commercials, even with Asians, because of what are they saying to us? You know,
are they trying to weaken our genetics to mixing, getting us to mix with them, weakening us? You know, is that another means because our birth rate exceeds theirs? Is this another attack they're using because they fear our growth?
Well, that's what that's what they've done in various countries. You know, they did it in Cuba. They did it in Brazil. You know, imported Caucasians and to outbreed us. I mean, although let's be real, the dominant gene we possess, that melanin is serious. Yes. We possess that, and so you will have to take a few generations for that to be eliminated. You know, like say for instance, a Caucasian man has intimate relationships with an African woman, and then that offspring will have to have intimate relationships with Caucasians and then so forth before the African genetic is suppressed. But it will never be eliminated. It will always be there. You know, when people are now doing the DNA test and somebody said something funny, said, man, you know, these crackers took us from our homes, disrupted our families. Now they want to charge us $100 just to see where we came from. You know? Yeah.
That's a funny. I never look at it, but you're right. That's funny.
You know, they did this. They should be doing this shit for free. Yeah, they're the cause of this, man. But now they want to charge us $100 and say, "Oh yeah, well, I can tell you where you came from." Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
In fact, Ancestry.com and 23andMe.com can't do it. You need to go to African Ancestry. They have a serious database, and I'm going to get Sister Gina Page on the program in the future to talk about African ancestry and the importance of it and what they do. But you can see a lot of this happening. And once again, that's why I feel that the Kwanzaa celebration is important, because at least at this time, at this very moment, there's a focus on who we are as Africans, who we are as an African people, who we are in terms of our traditions and customs and so forth. There's a focus, and maybe through this week, somebody or somebodies will gain consciousness. Somebody will wake up. Somebody will release that vice grip that these Europeans, these Caucasians, these crackers have on our minds. Because the only way to release that vice grip is to turn that knob at the end of the handle. And symbolically and metaphorically, the turning of that knob is acquiring knowledge of self, believing in who we are and our cultures and our traditions. It's just like you say all the time, Brother Frank, understanding who puts that narrative out and changing that.
Yes. So often we just send our children to schools and we look at their report card looking for A's and B's.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't realize as an African person, we have to research.
Right.
We have to find our own narrative, our own history. We cannot depend upon our oppressors to teach us the truth about ourselves. Because as long as we're getting information about ourselves from our oppressors, they're always going to give us information that marginalizes us and exemplifies them. Always.
Yeah.
Social scientists describe this as instilling a value system into the minds of the oppressed that makes the oppressed more compliant with the oppressor's dominance over their lives. We're being socialized to believe in white superiority.
Yes.
This makes us more compliant with white dominance over us. And as long as we allow them to educate us and give us information without study or true information, this is why many black people are self-hating and think so highly of whites. Or they're talking to a white person, they sit up straighter. On why some black men have it kind of easier to hit another black man rather than attack a white person.
Mm-hmm.
Because these values have been programmed into their minds.
And see, we do
understand how social scientists are affecting our minds. And they do it because they fear us. They've done so much terrible things to us. They have to continue to program our minds to think in ways that serve and protect their interests.
That's why they always believe that if we come into any kind of power, we would do to them what they have done to us.
Yes, they're afraid.
That fear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But also, Brother Frank, they put fear into us.
Yes.
They put fear into us. To me, the greatest stranglehold they have on our minds is instilling that fear into us of what are they going to say? What are they going to think? What are they going to do? You know, I'm scared. I'm scared to attend meetings where they're talking about all this African stuff. I'm scared to do anything outside of the dictates of what Europeans have imposed on us. That's a fear. You know, this is like when the brother went to the so-called plantation. He didn't see no fences. And he said, nah, man, there's a fear because, of the consequences of what could happen. Getting caught and mutilated and killed and hung and castrated, and making sure that it wasn't done in private. It had to be done with everybody watching to put that fear into you and say, if you do this, the same thing will happen to you.
You know, I remember 2008 when Barack Obama was running for president and the white media was talking about, we believe he subscribed to black liberation theology. And they were talking as if black liberation theology was a negative thing. Black liberation was an evil thing.
Right.
It was shocking to hear the media promoting black liberation as an evil practice.
Yeah.
Because that's not what a white man does.
Yeah. Because black liberation means the end of white domination. See?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a very, we have some black people are so conditioned, they get angry. So I don't hear that black liberation stuff.
Right.
I don't hear that. Their minds have been programmed against their own self-interest.
Yep. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about all of these good things. And more importantly, all the Kwanzaa of our Ghani brothers and sisters. And today's word is Umoja. So you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. Nostalgia is the message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
for unity.
Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And you've just heard Seven Principles by Kwame Cobb and Shavin Dukkha out of Chicago. That CD is about, oh, I'd say 30 years old, but it's relevant. It is on point. It is beautiful. And that sister has a beautiful voice, Sister Shavin Dukkha. Beautiful couple, beautiful people. In fact, I had them on a program when I was with the firefighters, and heard them many times, and just fantastic. And to me, that whole CD needs to be played at this time of year. And other ones. In fact, I'm going to play at the end of the program, Teddy Pendergrass's Happy Kwanzaa. I bet you some of y'all didn't even know Teddy Pendergrass had a Kwanzaa song out. I didn't know either until a few years ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but Teddy Pendergrass has a nice piece out called Happy Kwanzaa, you know. So, but that is the spirit of this time and how important this celebration is for us as a people. You said something, Frank? I'm sorry.
No, I said nothing. Listening.
Oh, okay, because I just feel that at this time, let me run down the other programs that are here on Time for an Awakening Media. Of course, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And, of course, on Mondays as well, Monday evening, is Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Right after that is Blessed by Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Fridays, Time for an Awakening from 8 p.m. until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until is once again Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 9832, where you can give your questions, comments, or concerns, or just give us your African perspective. Yeah. You know, what you said earlier, Brother Frank, in terms of that controlling that narrative.
Yes.
That's why a lot of our people, even though Kwanzaa has grown, it has grown globally, you know, but still it doesn't have the transformative hold that it should have or must have or will have, you know, because some people just look at it as such, well, okay, it's just a weak thing, or I'll go this day or that day. But the reality is the whole idea, as far as I'm concerned, is to put those seven principles in your everyday life, that every day that you're conscious, that you practice unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. Every day that you do that, you know. In fact, I had a piece where I talk about Kwanzaa, and I did this many years ago with the young people I was working with. And check this out, of how you can put those seven principles into your everyday life and help them transform you. I mentioned the fact that the Europeans who came and took this land, they established 13 colonies. Why 13? Because they tried to make the number 13 a spooky number, an evil number. Friday the 13th, there is no 13th floor on some hotels. There's no 13th row on some airlines because they wanted you to put into your mind that the number 13 is an evil or bad number. But the and Brother Frank and listeners, I'm not talking about pilgrims or Puritans. I'm talking about the folks who came and took this country and established this country, the so-called founding fathers of this of what they have done. These folks were Masons. They were deists. They had the knowledge that we once possessed that they have suppressed and took control of. They have that knowledge. So then why did they establish 13 colonies? Then why didn't they do 10, 12, or 15? Those are good numbers. The reason why they did 13, because they understood that the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes a cycle. 13 begins anew. And you see that number 13 all the time. If you look on a dollar bill, on the back of it, you'll see the number 13 repeated 13 times. There are 13 feathers in the eagle's tail, the 13 olive branches, 13 arrows, 13 stripes on the breastplate, 13 letters in E pluribus unum, 13 steps on the pier. 13, because why 13? The number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes a cycle. 13 begins anew. How many signs in a zodiac? 12 plus the sun?
Yeah.
How many jurors on a trial? 12 plus the judge. How many mythical knights at that round table did King Arthur have? Because, I mean, some people believe that King Arthur was real, you know. How many knights at the round table? 12 plus King Arthur. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12 plus Jesus?
Yeah.
13. Yeah. So you can see clearly that this number 13 is a powerful number. It is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. So then how can...
12 months,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There are also 12 months in a year, and what follows that 12 months is a new year. You say transformation.
Right.
It also fits in that same category. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly, brother. And so then how can we put the number 13 in our daily lives to transform us as a people? First, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, of Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work responsibility, Ujamaa, corporate economics, Nia, purpose, Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. You have those seven, hold those seven. Add to them the five C's. The first C is consciousness. Brother Oshie, me, I have dedicated my life to helping to raise the consciousness of our people. Consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. Consciousness. And you can obtain consciousness through reading, listening, watching, being open-minded, embracing consciousness. Once you have consciousness, the second C is confidence. Because you have consciousness, you have a confidence that you know who you are. You know that you can pass the test or get the promotion. You have a confidence. This is not ego. This ain't tripping. This is a self-awareness. Confidence. The next C is courage. Because you have consciousness and confidence, you have courage. You stand on these things. You have courage. Nobody can sway you. Nobody can deter you. You have courage. The next C is conscience. Knowing what is morally right and wrong and doing what's right. Standing on principle, standing on integrity, doing what is right when no one is looking. Conscience. And the fifth C is conviction. Conviction. You want to graduate with a doctorate degree? Well, it didn't happen the year you wanted it to happen. But it happened because why? You persevered. Whatever roadblocks or detours were put in your path, you overcame it because you have conviction. Conviction. So now, you have the seven principles of unity, self-determination, collective responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. Now add to the seven, five C's of consciousness, confidence, courage, conscience, and conviction. 7 + 5 = 12, plus you. There it is. There it is, my brother. Utilizing the number 13 into our everyday lives to transform us individually and, more importantly, us collectively. Because what an individual can do is weak and pale in comparison to what we could do collectively. We are a collective people. That's why, you know, and I have a respect for brothers and sisters in the theology, but I don't believe that Christian, even though you could call it Black liberation theology, can really do it for us as a people, because the theology, Christian theology, speaks to us individually. You know, it doesn't speak to us collectively. And plus that, too, it ain't African. That's the bottom line. It ain't African, you know.
So, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people cling to Christianity and they put black faces on those characters and think that somehow that makes it legitimate.
Right.
Makes it true.
Right.
Makes it real. By coloring the characters black, they think it's real. Mm-hmm. When the story is not real, when you research it, when you study it, it's not.
Right.
And I know many people are offended when they hear this, you know, this comment, but it's true.
Right.
I think the problem some of our people want, many of our people are not gravitating towards the Kwanzaa celebration, is because many of our people suffer from what I call the white man ISIS Kohler syndrome. They believe that to gravitate towards blackness, black consciousness, there's something lesser about it, that blackness is marginalized, and they cling to the white man's religion, the white man's holidays, and not their own, because they've been conditioned to believe that there's something inherently lesser about black ideology, black consciousness.
Right.
It's a damn shame. That's a problem. Franz Fanon says the oppressed will always believe the worst about themselves, and that's what we see a lot. If I had a dime for every time I heard a black person make the comment that blacks don't like to read, or if you want to hide something from black, put it in the book,
right,
I'd be your millionaire.
Exactly.
Blacks, and the blacks who believe that themselves have never validated that or quantified that. If you keep saying something negative about black people themselves will start to say it and start to believe it. And that's the problem that we have in our communities. We function off of narratives that have been indoctrinated about us from whites, and we start using those. We start seeing ourselves through those false narratives.
Right. And that's what's problematic for us. That's why we don't move as a people forward. Because individually, you just think you, in these problems, they don't affect you. That's somebody else. That is not mine. You know, I'm doing fine. I got a good job. I live in a good neighborhood. I send my kids to a good school. You know, I go to church on Sunday. You know, I'm fine. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You know, while a good majority of our people are suffering, you know, good majority of our people, and not just here, of course, globally, you know, because we have been a people who have been played on, preyed on, manipulated, undermined, scrutinized, you know, and all of these things have had detrimental or deleterious effects on us as a people, on our psyche, on our mental, physical, and spiritual health. You know, in fact, a lot of us don't have a damn clue, you know, of what's happening or who we are.
Yes.
You know?
Boom.
We're going to take a call, Brother Frank. 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie and Brother Frank. Good morning, Brother Marcos. Hey, Brother Marcos. Doing great, good brothers. Doing great. Hey, Brother Oshie, you talk about the number 13. Remember that the original calendar had 13 months. 12 months consisted of 30 days. And 1 month that consisted of 5 days that led to 365 days. Now the cracker, he come and he changed the whole calendar, okay?
Okay.
And put, so you got to have a leap year.
Every
4 years, you got a leap year. So what happened if you're born in a leap year?
Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? And you know, so what happened? Every 4 years, you got a birthday, you know? So this cracker messed up everything. You don't know what the hell he's doing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we got a man who don't know what the hell he's doing, you know?
And but yet, Marcus, we follow them. They don't know what the hell they do, but yet we follow them. We agree with them. Yeah.
You got white spots in my black head. You know what I'm saying? That's why we can't move no further. Got crackers here telling you what to do, telling you, you know, in front of you, you know, they are the leading source of intelligence. You know, blast off, going to the moon, or going to don't know where the hell you're going. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Blasting off. You know, I really hope they find some place on Mars or some planet, Pluto or somewhere. They could go somewhere, man. You know, because these people, they make me sick. I'm telling you, you know, it's just sick the way they have corrupted the minds of our people. You know, anyway, good brothers, thank you so much for the program, because your program brings some sanity in the nut house.
I hear you, my brother. That's what I try to be, is to bring some enlightenment, some understanding to a situation that is really problematic for us, and it begs for our very existence, because we don't understand the depths of what these Caucasians will do to maintain their position of dominance and control. Because to me, if you're trying to control the minds of somebody, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. It was deep when they had those chains on our ankles, and when we were suffering the sting of the lash. But once that was over, and they controlled our thinking, and they gave us a theology, a religion tied to themselves with the imagery of themselves, and saying to us, this is your savior. This is your survival. This is your, you know, I mean, man. And then since that time, we chasing crackers, trying to, that's why what you said earlier, Brother Frank, about the educational piece, you know, we're still praising and happy that somebody got good grades and so forth, that they got into this school. They put online this one sister. She got a bunch of scholarships. She got over $1 million-something in scholarship money. Yeah, that's great. That's good for them. But what is she going to learn about herself? What is she going to know about her traditions, her customs, her culture? You know?
Yeah.
While
that's
she's
right.
You know, while she's at,
she's been merely educated to uphold the system of white supremacy. That's what she's been educated to hold, to sustain white supremacy, not build her own communities, not uplift her own people, but to endorse and sustain white superiority.
And as a consequence, you know, it perpetuates itself and it's ongoing. We, as African people, have to break this. And the only way we can break this is come into a knowledge of ourselves, embrace who we are, reject who they are. And that rejection of them is very problematic for us because of fear. I'm a liberated African man, Brother Frank, liberated mind, body, and spirit. I'm liberated. I can give less than a rat's ass about what Caucasians think, about what they'll do. I'll fight and die to this very breath for the liberation and sovereignty of African people globally. I reject everything that this Caucasian talks about, what he has done. I don't hate anybody, and I don't. I don't, because if you know me, and I think that you do, you just don't talk on the radio. Me and you, we talk all the time. You know, I'm a good man. I feel that. I know that. But let me tell you, I don't hate anybody, but let me tell you what I do hate. I hate that Europeans, Caucasians created a system that gave themselves the top position on the human ladder, so to speak, with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position, because it has had a bad effect on African people globally, everywhere around the world. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friends. You want a friend? You go look in the mirror. And when you look in that mirror, don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. Not that you like your eyebrows arched or your cheekbones. No, like who you see historically, culturally, like your African self. Because that's the only friend you got. We are disrespected and dissed on our continent by Chinese. We're dissed in China for those Africans who went to China for whatever reason. We're dissed by Caucasians on the continent. And we're dissed in Europe. We're dissed in America. We're at the low economic edge. Why? Because they created a notion of their superiority and our inferiority, and we still buy into it. And that's why, to me, Kwanzaa is important, to embrace it and put those principles in your everyday life. Brother Frank, you got a comment, or we're going to go to a call?
You can go to the call, but I'll come at your time after the call.
Okay. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hotep, Brother O.C., Brother Franklin Jones, and happy Kwanzaa to you and all of your listening members out there in the diaspora.
Right on, Brother Jay.
How are y'all good brothers doing today? I hope y'all are enjoying the day, even though, you know, we got to deal with the cracker on this day. So, you know, it is a terrible day in a sense. But we will move forward.
Well, we have to. It's a forward flow. We have to. I you know, any time that the Kwanzaa season is upon us, I'm joyous. I'm very happy because it is a time, a specific time that we have the opportunity to reflect on who we are historically and culturally, to talk about Africa. Some people get an African name around this time. Families come together and talk about their history and their ancestors, you know, and so forth. And they have a chance to, commune with one another and share family stories and have a good meal. And so for Kwanzaa is a time for African people to come together. Kwanzaa is a time for people to understand who they are historically and culturally. So, yes, I'm feeling good.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that it's a time to bring together like African minds, to have a nice celebration. You know what I mean? To learn a little bit more about our culture and, you know, just deal with things on a very, very positive and spiritual note. You know what I mean? I mean, it's very few things that are going to change during this time, but very good things will change when more and more people become conscious and embrace the culture. So I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we just have to keep on moving forward. I mean, you know, I have to laugh when I hear people make criticism of Karenga. Whatever the issues are with Karenga, I give them credit for helping to create this cultural day or cultural week and cultural expression for our people. Now, you know, whatever he is what he is, man.
Right.
You know, the bottom line is, if you've ever been around Karenga, if you ever met him, you know, over a period of time, one would think he's an egomaniac at times.
Yes, buddy, but you're right about that.
In a certain level, the brilliance that, you know, some people have, they get these certain character traits that if they're not checked early, they could sometime become out of control. You know, I've always noticed the way when being in his presence, the way people treat him like he's some effing god.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case, bruh. He's a man. He puts on his pants just like I put on my pants. You know, I was always kind of turned off about that, because there's no reason, because someone gives us something, that we have to elevate them to the point to whereas they could become kind of narcissistic in their dealings with others, because everybody's kissing their behind, you know, every time they interact with them. You know, that's why a lot of times he's had problems with other people that's on his level, because the peons, as I say, are always sucking up to him. Mm-hmm. But when he's in the room, if you notice, with other, as I call them, heavyweight scholars, you know what I mean, that can match him wit for wit, you know, I think he has a hard time accepting it in some ways. But he's a brilliant brother, man. Nope. I mean, you know, he's the type of brother, man, that really retains information, puts out information. He does a pretty good analysis on things. And he's, you know, I guess deep down, he's a nice brother. But if you don't understand the characteristics of someone like him, you would have some issues. But I just don't like the way people respond to him. Like, nah, Duke ain't no God. He put on his pants like I do.
But you know
he's
what, Jay?
Like I do. I hope, you know.
Yeah, but you know what, Jay? You're right. You're right in a sense, in terms of those in the those other scholars, because Zadovan been turned off by him, you know.
Yeah.
Him and Malefi. Him and Malefi Asante. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
Malefi is a different type cat than me. I mean, you know who's the worst out of all of them to me, but he don't really hang around the cultural set? Henry Louis Gates. Now that's a real PLD cool Negro as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what nobody feel about him. I just don't respect him at all.
At all.
Now, Malefi is a brilliant.
Yes.
Malefi is the type of person, I put it to you like this. You can only really deal with Malefi one-on-one, I find. If you deal with Malefi one-on-one, it's a whole different thing when he's around others. Because I guess when he's around others, he got to show in the sense that he the dada. You know what I mean? That he the man. Now, the only person, but never did it to me, that I felt in all truthfulness and honesty, that was the level of the dada to me, was the level of the highest order was two people to me. This is just to me. I would say three, but one is really not a historian. From me being around them, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, and Amos Wilson.
Yeah.
Them are the only three. Yeah. To me, that I revere on the level of daylight. Now, I'm not going to say they're a god,
no.
But they're the closest thing to a god.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Let me tell you, Dr. Clark, you know, was beautiful.
Yes.
I took his course at Hunter College. Beautiful, beautiful man, real approachable and everything. He was a little short if you come with some nonsense. He wasn't playing, you know, he wasn't the type to play with you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ben, beautiful man. Beautiful, beautiful man. You know, I mean, you can't, them two brothers, you can't say enough about. And let me tell you something. To me, I had a chance to work with him. Dr. Amos Wilson. Amos Wilson, brother, let me tell you something, was the most giving, patient, loving, approachable man. You can't even really express Amos Wilson. Anybody that has ever been around Amos Wilson or know Amos will tell you he just one of the most beautifulest brothers in the world. Never always straight centered, always calm, always relaxed, man. You know what I mean? You would never know that he was under any pressure, because when he had the bookstore, you know, it was doing all right. But, you know, I didn't know that he had, you know, issues with it as far
with
as,
his health.
You know, making money and mm-hmm. all of that stuff. But let me tell you something. He was the nicest brother. That's the beauty of living in New York and being able to be around those people.
Yeah, I agree.
On a small level, to get to not know them, but to know them enough that where you was approachable to them, and you could have some sort of touch and feel of them. Them three brothers there were the best. But let me leave you with this for your Kwanzaa gift. If you could get a hold of a lecture that Dr. Ben's partner. I don't know if you ever heard of this professor, by the professor, the name George Simmons.
No, I haven't.
Yes. Professor George Simmons. He had a lecture, the greatest lecture, or one of the greatest lectures ever. Is the black man the white man's footstool? If you could ever get a hold of that lecture, brother, if you could ever get a hold of that lecture, please do it for yourself.
And what's the title?
Lecture ever presented to me by a scholar is The Black Man, the White Man's Footstool. And let me tell you something. When he was finished with that lecture, it broke it all down to the relationship between the black man and the white man. Anybody in the listening audience, if you could get a hold of that lecture, please do it. Do it. Please get a hold of that lecture. I would love to know who got a copy of that lecture, because that's a million-dollar lecture right there.
And you said Professor George Simmons.
Professor George Simmons is the black man, the white man's footstool. Get that lecture, bro. If you could find that, Ochi, I don't know. There was a brother, I think it was Dr. Wilson's partner. I think his name was Keku. He may have it, but I don't know if he has it or not. I know there was a couple of other brothers that may have had it. I just haven't been hanging around the cultural people on that level to what you call them. A matter of fact, if I run into Sonetta, I'll ask him if there's any way that I could maybe get it. I know brother, he just died this year, Jack Felder. He may have been able to let you know who had it. I'll ask his son if I see.
Do you think,
son,
brother Jay? Do you think that is on? Is that both in print and on video? Do you think?
No, it's probably only on video. It's probably only on video. I think I one time looked for it on YouTube and I wasn't able to
find it on YouTube.
And
okay.
I know his son had a copy of it, but his son passed a couple of years ago. So the one person that I know that had a copy of it in his divorce, his wife destroyed it. You know,
okay.
destroyed his book collection and his video collection.
See,
just for spitefulness.
See,
and I
she
mean,
could,
he
she
had
could,
a,
see,
he had
hey,
a
hey,
book collection and what's wrong.
See, she knew how precious that was, because she could have tore up his clothes and stuff like that. But she knew how. But see, not only did she destroy something of his that was valuable, but that was valuable to our people, you know. But I understand rage and jealousy and madness and whatever.
Well,
it's
sometimes it's even beyond that. Sometimes it's even beyond that. It's that mental sickness and that hatred of in all honesty, of your African self. That's really what it is. We like to play games and say that it's something other than that. But it's that mental sickness. Because the truth of the matter, and I guess we got to say it and we got to really mean it, most people don't want to be African, man.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about we want to be African and this and that, but we don't want to be African. We don't want to try to live a basic African life with African principles and African values, man. You know what I mean? That's why this huge Vugu got us under the type of raps that he do. You know what I mean? He always changing the game to try and get you to incorporate yourself into whiteness. The whole system is set up like that, to the point to now is, you know, they identify these kids at a young age, man. And they basically, if they have the ability and they identify it, they go get them into that. You
right.
know what I mean? Just, I was real happy to see that young sister, I think her name was Monique Davis, the
right.
you know, the one that
yeah.
made a name for
yeah.
herself in the World Series Little League.
Right.
I was glad to see that she's going to a HBCU.
Yeah, she's going to Hampton. She's going to Hampton University.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's little things like that. It's like, to be honest, man, I don't understand what our issue is and our problems why we're not making these HBCUs stronger and better, man. And I was just talking to a brother, man, that, you know, I hadn't seen him in like 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that his son goes to Morehouse. And he was telling me how, you know, a couple of months ago, he went down there to spend a little time with him and to visit with him. And he said the affirming homosexuality on that damn
campus. It's sickening. It's sickening.
To run his son home, to bring his son home. He said he knew it was bad, but he didn't know it was that damn bad.
Hey.
He said, you got cats walking around in dresses and skirts and all this.
Jay, when I was with the Black firefighters, we had a training with on the campus of Morehouse, you know, in Atlanta, the Morehouse, Spelman, Morris Brown, which is not, doesn't have accreditation, Clark Atlanta, all in that same area, in that same campus. And so we had a program with the Black firefighters. But at that very same time, there was an edict from the university president that went out about a dress code. And it wasn't about pulling up your pants. And it wasn't about the dress code was, he said, this is a private institution and we don't want you coming here with boas and purses and stiletto heels and so forth, you know, on the campus of Morehouse College. In fact, that's why Baba Baruti left Morehouse. He was a professor at Morehouse and he seen what was happening and he left. So, yeah. But anyway, Jay.
But do you know me? You left out one thing, Oshi. You left out one thing. He made that statement. He wrote that memo, but it sure didn't do a damn thing. It sure didn't do a damn thing. That should tell you a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, 'cause see, that's why. Even though we're happy that Sister Monet Davis is going to Hampton, you know, HCBU, but the reality is HCBU's parity or compare to other universities. They're not African centered. They don't want none of that black stuff either. In fact, this is deep. This is deep. When I was in Tallahassee, when our Black Firefighters Training Program was in Tallahassee on the campus of FAMU, Naeem Akbar lives right down the street, walking distance from the campus of FAMU. And I was over his house with another brother from Atlanta because he knows, because Naeem taught at FAM at one time before he went to Florida State, where he teaches at. I think he's still at Florida State. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was saying, I never really had a program on the campus of FAMU. And I'm like, I'm shocked. I was shocked that he was never invited to do anything. But then now, of course, I understand and know why.
You know, the word is out about Naeem, man. That's why you don't really see him too much.
Right, I know.
Too much out in public.
Right,
I know. Which is a utter disgrace because the brother has.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A serious mind. I don't know. I don't know if it was an affliction that hit him, if somebody from up in the sky came down and poisoned him and put sugar in that tank. I don't know what the hell happened because the man was married and had kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean it's like the Negro's a horror show. You know what I mean? But I'm not gonna say that his work that he presented, I've been to numerous of his lectures before it came out that he was a monkey man.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, it's sad, bro.
It is.
And you know something? A lot of people I know are conflicted by it because, you know, there's those of us who would like to, you know, enjoy his analysis on certain things.
Because he's on.
He had an excellent presentation
yes.
on certain aspects of who and what we are as a people in the direction that we should be going, but to give it all, to give it all up. Oh, come on, man.
I know. I agree. Oh, God.
But that's what the Urugu do to you, yeah, man. Every you were talking earlier about the public display of brutalization by the Urugu. One of the greatest things he ever did to captivate our minds. The greatest thing he did, because the fear that he put in us back then is as prevalent today as it was when he was presenting it.
No doubt.
Think about that.
All right. Let me get my co-host up in here, Brother Jay. Brother Frank Jones. Because I know he had some things on his mind.
My brother's on point. Brother Jay is on point. Absolutely correct. Just the key, Brother Jay.
Brother Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, Franklin, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it's like crazy. How could you torment a people 400 or 500 years and the torment is still as prevalent today? And our people don't even see that we've been tormented, that we've been oppressed, that we've been brainwashed, that we've been all of those things. It was funny. You know, did you hear about the book, Brainwashed by Tom Burrell?
Yes. I have it. And he gave an analysis on it before. And I totally agree with your analysis, 100%, of how to kind of water down. He was speaking in a language that was not to offend the white masses. He wasn't wrong as you are.
Now, Franklin, check this out.
Yeah.
You got these Negroes who want to praise that book and use it as a template to have us as a people move forward. I had to check a Negro, and I had to tell a Negro, you talking about Brainwashed by Tom Burrell? Let me tell you something. Cut all the BS and read Sovereignty or Excuses by Mwanawu Burundi, and then you'll have some kind of template on how we should move forward as African people. If you use Brainwash as a template for us to move forward, you're stupid, you're naive, and you're a fool, and you don't know better because you ain't done enough critical analysis, because that book is a joke.
Yes, 100%.
You know, people, it's just like, I got a little bit of issues with, you know, the sister that did the book. Damn, I'm taking a blank right now. The sister that did the book about the prison. I got a little bit of issues with that.
Michelle Alexander?
Yeah, I got a little issues with that book. I think she left out a couple of things that she could have, you know, explored a little bit more. But the thing with this Tom Burrell book is, I mean, it's like, you know what Tom Burrell book is? It's like a middle school book for Negroes.
Yeah.
It's not even a high school book. It's like a middle school. It's a middle school book.
Yeah, it sounds like he's speaking not to offend the whites. He sounds like he's speaking to appease whites. He's not speaking strong and powerful.
He sounds like a liberator. He's trying not to show the true devilishness of the Urugu. That's the thing. Why is it that you can't just tell the truth about them? It's not the end of the world if you tell the truth about the white man. I mean, if you know history and you understand history, then you're going to know the truth anyway. So why must we play games with it? Why must we play games about it? Why must we act as though he hasn't done the things that he's done and he continues to do the things that he does? How you gonna make it into some fact that you brainwashed and then it's so superficial? You ain't even doing deep analysis on the brainwashing.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Not at all.
You know, he's the one I keep on telling Brother Oshi, but Oshi won't listen to me. I said, Oshi, you need to check out that Karen Hunter show, because she's one who pushes that. She one that pushed that clown.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But Oshi, you know what I mean, don't want to do it. He don't want to take it, the 2 or 3 hours one time to really get a feel on it. You know what I mean?
No, Jay, I've heard her. I've heard her a few times. I've heard her enough to know that she is whitewashed. You know, she's been totally afflicted with the Rugu virus. You know,
but she suffers from whiteitis. What makes her dangerous is she got an audience.
Yeah.
She got an audience who follow her BS, man.
No doubt.
And the thing is, she got a big mouth and she can't stop talking and she don't really know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
But
look,
I got a.
All right, Jay.
Listen, Oshi. Hey, listen. Enjoy the presentation tomorrow by Baba Rudy, man. And you got to tell him, he got to just come on the show just one time, man, and rap to the brothers, man.
Okay, I sure will.
That's my brother there.
That's
you know,
right.
There's no,
right.
He's the foremost authority on where we need to be going.
That's
he
right.
You got to do what he do, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's going to be fine. I wish they were taping it and I could purchase it, man, because I know his presentation is gonna be fire, man.
Yeah.
He never disappoints, man.
That's sure.
One beautiful.
Yeah, that's
brother.
Gonna be Saturday.
And frankly, and you gotta go tomorrow to see that presentation, man.
I'm going.
Because
you're gonna be
an African world, African royalty. Hotep and have a good day, brothers.
Okay, you too, Jay. Go
brother,
ahead, brother.
Out of time.
Yeah, go ahead, Frank. It's close.
It was a fantastic show, and I thank the audience who's listening. I look forward to being here again next week. I know it's time for you got 2 minutes left, so
I know. I appreciate you, Brother Frank. I appreciate your patience. I appreciate what you bring to this program. And our friendship and our partnership in making things happen. Hope to see you tomorrow night. Definitely hope to see you on Saturday. Hope to see you on Saturday in Lithonia, Brother Franklin Jones,
great.
The Black People Matrix. Is that .com? Right.
That's correct. Peace, my brother.
Peace. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, that they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, enjoy this Kwanzaa season. Go out tonight at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, tonight, tomorrow, and all weekend, whatever Kwanzaa, even if you have Kwanzaa in your home, celebrate it, celebrating us. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Peace, family. Enjoy Teddy Pendergrass. Happy Kwanzaa.
Habarigani, habarigani, Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa. Feel the joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring emotion. Set the table, no matter strong, thankful for the first fruits of the year. Stay a light a candle just for you. Come join the party. It's a celebration, Karamu at Kwanzaa time of year. Red and yellow, black or white, Yoruba, it's alright. It's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is much we can do.
Alright.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do. be quiet.
Together there is much we can do.
All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
It's a celebration. Remembering times of old. Tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. Still the children are the future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of the year. Red and yellow, black or white. You're home, it's all right. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Together there is so much we can do. Happy, 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 happy Kwanzaa. So many ways to show I love you. See, I have faith in all that we do. But we gotta stay together. Just a few of the principles that help us.
Starts at 8, that's when we get praise to the man upstairs for another blessed day. I give hugs to my mom, to my dad and my sis. You smell that? I run to see what mom's cook.
While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
Hey.
Determination.